Thank you so much for the introduction, Laura. That was lovely. So I'm going to be talking about some of the stuff I've been bashing my head up a wall trying to understand for the past couple of years with Jonathan Gehr, Joanne Simon, and Matthew. John's my PhD supervisor, and we both basically wanted to figure out how well we could constrain the spin parameter of near-extreme black holes. So there's quite a nice story behind this. We read the paper In Spiral into Gargantua, which was written by Niels Warburton, Scott Hughes, and Sam Gralla. We looked at these amazing waveforms, which have a very interesting characteristic where you get this nice flat profile and then you get this exponential damping regime. And John and I wondered, well, does this damping regime, does it contain this extra information about the spin parameter? So he told me to go away and do some Fisher matrix calculations, and I did this. And I came back to John and said, look, we can constrain the spin parameter to one part in a billion. And he looked at me shocked and told me to go away and repeat my calculations. So I did, and I came back with the exact same result. And then he gave me five different diagnostic checks, and each of them passed. So we're both looking at this numerical result thinking, why? Why can we constrain spin parameters of these systems to such high precision? And this is the purpose of the talk today, is to convince you that, well, one, we can, and in particular, why we can. So the roadmap, the kind of like what I'm going to be discussing is I'm going to give a quick brief review on near-extreme or black holes. I'm going to talk about why we would expect such high precision measurements. I'm going to talk about, computing basically numerical Fisher matrices to determine how well we can measure spins, taking into account correlations with other parameters. And I'm going to finish with some conclusions, some future work, and hopefully spark up a discussion. So our orbit is nice and simple. So we have a point particle mass mu on a circular and equatorial orbit around a massive black hole. Now, with that primary massive black hole, we're going to take the spin parameter very, very close to one. And we're going to look at roughly year-long in spiral, starting from some radial coordinate, in spiraling very, very close to the innermost stable circular orbit. And this is where you see the sort of really unique characteristic in those waveforms, that dampening feature. So why study near-extreme black holes? Near-extreme black holes are fascinating. This is a picture from Interstellar. This is Gargantua with a spin parameter 1 minus 10 to the negative 14. Now, the Kerr geometry is marvelous, but the near-extreme Kerr geometry is incredible, because what you can do is if you do introduce this change of coordinates and you zoom into the horizon, then you end up getting this new enhancement of symmetry. Now, where you have an enhancement of symmetry, you get greater analytical control over various problems. And this is exactly what Sam Gralla, Achilles porphyriadis, sorry for the pronunciation, and Niels Warburton were able to do, where they were able to exploit this symmetry and come up with an analytical approximation for the total energy flux emitted due to gravitational radiation emission. Okay. And this analytical result is something that we use throughout this paper to argue why we expect such high precision measurements. So to compute these precision measurements, we use a Fisher matrix, a very nice kind of cheap tool. It just consists of inner products of waveform derivatives. Take the inverse, take the square root, look at the diagonal elements, and then you're able to get a guide on how well you can measure certain parameters. So to give you an intuitive feel, you could perform MCMC, generate a posterior distribution that represents your distribution of beliefs on the parameters, but that's expensive. What a Fisher matrix does is it kind of tells you, it should overlie, the Gaussian should overlie the posterior distribution in the high SNR limit. And it's a very quick way to calculate how certain you are about your measurement in those certain parameters, right? So throughout this discussion, we'll be using the Fisher matrix, but then later on, I discuss some things with MCMC as well. So we need a waveform. So to get a waveform, we need a radial trajectory, of course. So because we're dealing with circular and equatorial orbits, we just take a time derivative. We have an evolution equation for the radial coordinate r. Now, the numerator, the total energy flux, which a lot of you will know, is a dynamical quantity. Okay, this is the bit that encodes the radiation being emitted. Whereas a denominator is an analytical property. It comes from the geodesics of the orbit. Now, to get the total energy flux, we used a combination of Martin and the Black Hole Perturbation Toolkit. Martin, I still owe you a bottle of whiskey for this help. And basically, we use these results for when we're dealing with year-long in spirals, so we're not dealing with the near horizon regime. Whereas when we're trying to, understand why we get such high precision measurements, we use the analytical approximation. right? And this analytical approximation works very well when you're very near the horizon of a near extreme black hole, okay? So what we can do is we can do some approximations. We can plug in our Dukolsky-based waveform and then do, you know, some further approximations, and we find the leading order contributions is exactly what you see here. So let's break this equation down. So the first part is you have the outgoing flux, which goes, you know, the energy flux going off into infinity. You also have the roughly the number of cycles squared. But what's very interesting about this part is that you have a part which is the spin dependence on the radial trajectory. And what we were able to prove in the paper is that for near extreme black holes, this guy right here, the spin dependence on the radial trajectory, grows massively during that exponential dampening sort of feature that you see, giving you a much larger spin-spin component to the Fisher matrix. And this is what gives you such excellent precision. And in particular, the dampening part is immensely sensitive to perturbations in the spin parameter itself. And we were also able to show that if you compare the spin dependence on the radial trajectory for near extreme black holes to moderately spinning ones, the near extremal spin dependence on the radial trajectory is always much larger. So you would expect to get much larger precision measurements if you're dealing with near extremal emeries rather than moderately spinning ones. So I've got some backup slides on this if people want more details. It's quite technical, so I'm just going to move on to our numeric section. So in this case, we built fully Dukolsky-based first order adiabatic waveforms. We looked at two different viewing angles. We looked at face on and edge on. And this is a profile of we looked at a source, a heavy source, right? So massive, you know, 20 solar mass falling into a 10 to 7 solar mass black hole. And for the edge on source, we use the first 20 harmonics. Now, this is really an interesting plot, because you can see that the dominant harmonic, right, starts around here, and then it slowly starts to decay. And this implies you really need to have a lot of harmonics to really encapsulate the behavior in the waveform itself, right? So this is a very important thing. So we use the first 20 harmonics for edge on source. But we also looked at another source, which was a lighter source. So 10 solar mass falling into a 2 million solar mass black hole. And here are some waveforms. These are year-long waveforms of roughly an SNR of 20. And you see that you have this sort of flat profile, but then you get this exponential dampening feature. Now, what I'm going to show you now are the constraints on the spin parameter using the Fisher matrix, but I'm going to analyze individual segments of the waveform. So first of all, we're going to start with the full waveform itself. So I want on the x-axis, we have the relative precisions on the parameters, and on the y-axis, we've got the magnitude, right? So the precision measurements. And if you look for a spin of roughly 0.9, you're getting around a few times 10 to the negative 6 as a precision measurement. That's pretty good. But if you look at the near extremal ones, you're getting almost 10 to the negative 10, which is incredible. Now, what I want to, in the legend, you'll see I've got approximate and exact. And, you know, in the plus, I'm just gonna move this in the plus. What this means is when I say exact, I'm incorporating spin dependence on the Dukolsky amplitudes, the geodesic terms, and the spin weighted spheroidal harmonics in the Dukolsky prescription. Whereas in the approximate one, I'm fixing the Dukolsky amplitudes and spin weighted spheroidal harmonics, but letting the geodesic terms vary with the spin, right? And what we were able to prove was that the spin dependence in the radial trajectory is dominated by the geodesics of the problem. And this is further, you know, justified by this plot here, because what we are able to see is that the exact Fisher matrix is basically comparable to the approximate one, where you remove the spin dependence from the radiation reaction pieces and the spin weighted spheroidal harmonic pieces. So if you look at the actual individual parts of the signal, so if you look at up to this dampening part, you're getting roughly 10 to the negative 7. Whereas if you look at the full in spiral throughout the dampening and then the full in spiral, you're getting roughly about 10 to the negative 9, 10 to the negative 10, okay? So what this implies is that you really need to see this dampening feature in order to make such tight constraints on the spin parameter, okay? And this is further justified by the spin dependence in the radial trajectory, because that part grows massively, but only once you get into the actual dampening part. And then, and this is like the absolute money shot plot, I love this plot. So on the x-axis, we have the spin parameter from 1 minus 10 to the negative 4 to 1 minus 10 to the negative 9. Y-axis are the precision measurements. And as you increase the spin parameter towards unity, so you're extending the length of the throat, you see that the spin precision measurements in the spin, well, the spin, they increase, and they increase a lot, but the other parameters are very weakly affected, okay? And this is incredible, because if we're looking for a black hole with a spin of 1 - 10^-9 from an Emery observation, according to these results, you can measure the spin to roughly 10^-12, which is incredible, okay? Now, I'm talking about a Fisher matrix, and there'll be many people in the audience that are a little bit skeptical, because Fisher matrices have problems, and they're very difficult to calculate for Emerys, right? Because they're numerically, they can be very unstable, right? So what we did was we put these waveforms onto a cluster, and a month later, we got some results. So these are the spin parameter posteriors. And we see that the Fisher matrix results that we have properly encapsulate the width of the posteriors. And thus we feel that our Fisher matrix results are not plagued by instabilities or any other issues regarding, say, numerical derivatives, because this is a difficult problem to work with, because we're dealing with near extreme black holes, and taking numerical derivatives, particularly with respect to the spin, can be quite challenging. So the take home from this, if none of this made any sense, but if you want to have the absolute take home message, is that if near extreme black holes are out there, LISA is the best bet in finding them. We should be able to identify near extreme black holes, and in particular, measure the parameters with excellent precision, okay? And some future work that we can do is, there's some work that we did in the past about incorporating the transition from a spiral to plunge for near extreme black holes. That was a fun project. And we're curious as to whether incorporating this into our waveform model, whether that would, you know, how much that would increase our ability to measure the spin parameter. So that's one project. Another one is we're looking at, say, an analytical study about, you know, just Emery parameter precision in general, okay, particularly as you orbit even closer towards the minimal stable circular orbit. We're looking to extend the parameter space, so to, include eccentricities or inclinations, to see whether that would degrade or enhance our ability to measure the spin. And in particular, and this is super interesting, is to do a systematic study. So we can measure the spin parameter to, like I said, 10^-10. So we need to have immensely accurate waveforms to search the data stream and perform parameter estimation, so that recovered parameters are not so biased that they lie outside of the width of that posterior, which is 10^-10. So we need really accurate waveforms to do this. Yes, Laura.
Your time is up, but I guess you're basically done.
Here's an awesome plot that my friend made for me, which is Pumba superimposed on top of a near extremal waveform. I'm out of time, so I'm sorry about that, but if people do have questions, I'm happy to answer them on Slack.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions, so I will start with Paolo, who was the first. You should be unmuted, Paolo.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. So nice talk. I just have two quick questions. So one is, how realistic are these values of the spin? Because I was expecting, say, a near extreme black hole to be, I don't know, at most like a torn limit or 0.98, while here you need a lot of precision, very close to one. And a related question is, at some point you showed the errors on the spin for spin 0.9. Are those computed with the, say, near horizon approximation of the waveforms, or with the full one?
So this was for A is 0.9. So I'll answer your second question, then your first. So for 0.9, no, this was not using, these results were not using the analytical approximation to the flux. These were using the full numerical results that we used the black hole perturbation toolkit to use, right? So we only use the analytical approximation to the flux to get sort of intuition as to why we would expect such high precision measurements. Okay, so this is in the analytical study of the Fisher matrix. Okay, the answer to the first question, that's a really hard question, to be honest, because of course there is the Thorne limit, which does, you know, people say that is the maximum astrophysical spin that you would expect. But I think that there was work. There's been quite a lot of work that has been trying to beat the Thorne limit, right, due to things like super Eddington accretion and things like that. But I think I'm of the view of that if we do not search for these near extreme waveforms, then, well, we're obviously not going to find them. So they're still important to look for, right? So in answer to your question, based purely on the Thorne limit, they are unrealistic, right? But it's important to continue looking for them just in case that, you know, the Thorne limit can be broken through to some astrophysical mechanism. Does that answer your question, Paolo?